Welcome to a special summer edition of the Stank Gang Podcast, doing something a little bit different, a roundtable conversation. We've got Lynn Smith here, the assistant coach at Midwestern State for the women's soccer team. Of course, was a standout player for the Midwestern State men. Another standout for the men was Patrick Fitzgerald, who's now an assistant with the national championship, Midwestern State Mustangs men's soccer team. Patrick, how has that changed your life, having coached a national championship team?
Yeah, it feels pretty cool. Yeah, I suppose you're a little bit well known around town now.
Free drinks all over town, I'm assuming.
I'd like to think so, but no, that's certainly not the case.
Not quite working out that way for
not
you?
No, sir.
Lynn, how's your offseason been?
It's been good. Like I said, getting in the swing of things, getting ready for next fall, ready to go, enjoying a bit of summertime, playing dad over here, little ones over here running around, keeping me busy, so not too bad myself.
So we're going to do something a little bit different. I asked these guys in to kind of preview the World Cup because I'm getting World Cup fever. And who better to talk to than you two guys who are soccer experts here on the Midwestern State campus. So, Lynn, I want to start with the U.S., so I'm going to start with you. We saw the U.S. play Germany on Saturday. Kind of a mixed bag out of that game because there were moments where the U.S. looked good, but they lose 2-1. That's not going to be good enough to just play well and lose in the World Cup.
Yeah, I think when you look at the friendlies, you always want to come out with good vibes. They've been talking about here kind of how you feel about going in and out. I thought the Senegal game went very well. Started out very good against Senegal. You see Pulisic finally get his goals, go up 2-0 on those guys, give up a couple soft ones, and then get the win in that one. But then obviously the Germany game was a big one. One of the world powers that you've kind of had throughout the time over these years. I think the start is what kind of was very frustrating as a U.S. fan. You see there you gave up
a set-piece goal right off the bat.
Yeah, and you see Kimmich, he does those – he's provided a few of those throughout the Champions League, throughout his time with Bayern, and you can see one of those early. You kind of left a free header going in there with Havertz running a goal, but I think the response was big. I think that was one of the big things that I was looking for. How do you then respond to that? Do you sit in? Do you kind of get pounded in there the next 45 minutes as well to finish the half? But I thought they responded well. Came out there, finished the half very strong. I think scored one of a great goal there from Anthony Robinson. I think everybody can enjoy that. But no, I thought they played well. I thought they played free. Created plenty of chances. I think I had 10 corners to their two. Good possession as well, kind of building and playing. So some positives to take, but obviously losing isn't going to be the case that you want to see. But no, I think from a U.S. perspective, I'm happy with what I saw and excited.
How concerned are you about the back line? I mean, this doesn't look like a typical U.S. team right now.
No, I think that's one of the concerns, right? You look at the back line, having no Chris Richards was big. I think hopefully he'll come back and help solidify some things. Goalkeeping is one area as well that I'm a little bit concerned about. And like you say, typically with the U.S., that's not really our concern. You have a great goalkeeper. You're pretty stout in the back. You kind of stay organized and defend things. But I think where they maybe are making up for all that is kind of going forward. You see some positive things in the forward line. You see midfield playing very well. They're very progressive. I think Pochettino's kind of brought a bit of fight back. You saw a little bit of the bite and kind of the bit of hunger that you saw from that
team. And a little bit more of an attacking style.
Yeah,
of soccer,
yeah, and a lot more. And I think the big thing, though, is going to be how they defend in the transition moments. We'll have our opportunities, and you're going to play Paraguay, you're going to play Australia, that'll kind of sit in, and they will kind of try to make things difficult for us to break down. They won't leave much space to get in behind. And then how do you kind of defend in those transition moments, and how is that back line going to defend in space? Tyler Adams in the midfield, and then can Matt Freese make the save that he has to make when it comes up to it?
So I'm real curious to ask Patrick now,
okay,
what do you think about U.S. soccer? What's a reasonable expectation for U.S. soccer fans?
Well, first of all, I'm glad you didn't bring up the Irish pizza. I appreciate that. It's a good start. I think the U.S. are probably a little bit of a wild card. A bit like kind of what Lenny said, I don't think the back line is actually that big of a concern. I think you still have plenty of Premier League proven players there. So, like, there's still a lot of talent. And, I mean, the likes of Tim Ream, I suppose he brings a bit of experience too. But still somehow capable of producing, like, big-time performances. Goalkeeper probably is a little bit of an issue, to be fair. All of them, for that matter. going forward, though, I agree. Plenty of Premier League talent there. Like, Tyler Adams has been fantastic for Bournemouth this year. He's a great year. Obviously, Pulisic kind of speaks for himself a little bit. But I think it's packed with talent. The one thing I will say, and I kind of briefly said it to you before the podcast, is the international game is kind of getting a little bit boring and defensive. I hope, and I really hope, Pochettino brings something a little bit different, where it's maybe a high-pressing group or just, like, uses the legs they have, because they have got legs and energy. Like Brendan Aaronson, for instance, plays in a high-pressing group at Leeds, and I think that could be a real asset. And I think the Canadians are in the same boat over there. Jesse Marsh will play high-pressing football. He only knows one way, but I think that's the way the US would have to go, in my eyes, to be a little bit of a wild card in the tournament.
Let's talk a little bit about the World Cup being here in the United States, what it means to soccer. Definitely going back to 94, I know you guys were really young, if you were even born in 94.
I wasn't born.
Neither one of you, right?
I was ticking on about 1.5.
Okay, all right.
Just feeling fresh out of the womb. So
I was a full-grown man in 94, just for the record. And it definitely, it spurred what we see now. But when the U.S. got to, what was it, the quarterfinals in 2002 and played Germany, if you had told me to look ahead 24 years, I would have thought that the U.S. would have made greater strides than they have in terms of competing at this level. What's it going to take to get the U.S. over the hump to where they are a power on the world stage?
Go on, you can go ahead.
No, just from my perspective, I think 2002 was the first World Cup I remember watching. Staying up 2, 3 a.m., obviously was over there in Asia, and seeing them win that game against Mexico and then, you know, getting to the quarterfinal. I thought Pat's Irish boys did pretty well in that quarterfinal as well, and they thought they had a chance to win, and I thought USA could have beat Germany whenever they played them then and there. But kind of getting back to your point, we haven't got to that next step. And what's it going to take? Obviously, in footy, it takes a bit of luck. I think talent is now can't be the question of is it there, is it not? I think they, like Pat said, they got plenty of pretty proven Premier League-type players and players playing all across the globe.
And I don't think we've had a World Cup where we've had this many guys that play in Europe.
No, not at all. And I think you have players in all over the pitch. You got players in all different positions. You have people that can come off the bench and provide that quality too. So I think it's going to take a bit of luck of the draw. You got to go out here, you got to play, you got to have the kind of things fall your way at times. But I don't know about world power, if we'll ever be up there with the likes of Brazil's, the Argentinas, the Spains, and all those. But I think when you get a home World Cup, you never know what can happen. I think you've seen it throughout the time. I think in that 2002 World Cup, if I'm not mistaken, South Korea made it to a semifinal. I think you had the last World Cup, you've seen Morocco make a run to a semifinal. I'm not saying USA is going to get to a semifinal by any means. But I think having that maybe in the backing of them with the talent that's here, you could see maybe hopefully that next step, hopefully get back to at least to a quarterfinal.
I'd just like to see it in my lifetime.
That's it.
If we could somehow get over that hump and get to the semifinals, that would be fantastic. Let's take a look at the is it France and Spain? Are those the two favorites?
I would say, I mean,
well, you got that.
I like the Spanish personally. I think if Yamal is healthy, I think the Spanish, and I like the way they play, I think they're not one of those teams I was referring to where they kind of, it's a defensive game and you're going 1-0, which I think the last World Cup, I know everyone's getting really, really excited about it, and it is an exciting thing, but I mean the amount of boring games you watched in the last World Cup is incredible, you know. I think
do you know why that is? Is it just coaching mentality, or there's
a lot at stake, and I mean, I think coming over here as well, the climate's going to be an issue for a lot of these countries. You know what I mean? Where you can't just go and press for 90 minutes like you would on a Saturday morning in England. You know what I mean? It's a different ball game for some people, but yeah, I don't know. It's sometimes it's a mentality, sometimes it's a coaching thing. It's a little bit of philosophy, but I think the Spanish, the Germans, the Argentinians. And maybe the Portuguese, aside from them four, I even thought the English were boring. I thought the French were extremely boring last year. I think they scored one goal from play in their first four or five outings.
I think there's some sports books that have England as the third pick.
Yeah. I hope not. I'll love my Croatia jersey.
And then it's interesting you left out a country that we would expect to hear, and that's Brazil.
So for me, that's where I was going to maybe go here. Pat hit on the climate of everything as well. I do believe you're going to see the European teams maybe struggle a little bit with it. Brazil, I want to pick. I really do. But the legs in midfield kind of worry me a little bit. They have a few bit of the older players. Kind of disappointed they didn't bring my boy João Pedro over here kind of to the tournament. But my two that I would have gone with, probably I'd say the French. I do believe so, depending on how their chemistry is. You've seen some little issues over there, but I think their talent's undeniable. And then my South American pick would be probably Brazil. I do believe a South American team has a very good chance to win it this year.
Do you think the climate has something to do with that? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I think you've seen the stories that have kind of come out here recently. I was talking to one of our players, Marlene, is from Norway. Erling Haaland's guy, he's getting his first World Cup, and they're out here sunbathing, and they're kind of trying to take in the heat. You see the English over here. I don't think I've heard one positive report come out of their camp. They're complaining about the likes of the weather in Miami and the field and the this and the that, and it's just a lot of different things that are kind of playing into factors that are going on. But I do believe the weather will play a bit of a factor.
What do you guys make of the expansion of the field? Because to me it seems like they tried to fix something that wasn't broken. But it's now, what, 48 teams, 104 games in this World Cup, being hosted by three countries.
Well, Pete, I'm going to be honest, I love the idea, because it meant Ireland have a better chance. But somehow we still go. I mean, we had every opportunity. We went 2-0 up against the Czech Republic, mm-hmm. and you think it's over and done with, and then all of a sudden, you know what I mean? Yeah, it happens. It's football. But, yeah, look, I mean, obviously, I'm all for it if it means getting my country in it. But, yeah, I agree with you in terms of saying that I think it certainly wasn't broken, and we're probably going to see a lot of boring games right mm-hmm. now, which is, I mean, it goes hand in hand. I think half the experience is for these countries actually making a World Cup, you know what I mean?
Right, just being there.
Correct, yeah.
And then, so we'll have a round of 32 now, mm-hmm. and there'll be 8 third-place teams that go in to the knockout stage, along with all the first 2 teams from each group. Is there a group of death this year in the World Cup?
They were saying the French.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Group of death is going to be tough because, like I said, you obviously get the third place teams that go through it. I believe that it is, France, it's Senegal,
Iraq, and Norway.
And Norway, you know what I mean? And then the other one I think is going to be pretty tough still is England, Croatia, Ghana. And then obviously Panama's in that group as well. But I think you're not going to have the same group of death where you have the 4 teams in there that can always kind of go at one another now with the expansion. But I think those two are probably the groups that stand out to me, where you'll kind of see some of the better group stage games as well and some of those kind of maybe that little upset or something that you could see. I think the Ghanaians could cause the English some problems. I do believe, obviously, Senegal's a top team, and then Erling Haaland going against anybody can score goals.
Right.
I think Group C, honestly, with the Brazilians, Brazil, Morocco, Scotland, and Haiti. I mean, Haiti, obviously, I think is going to be – I don't think they're really going to play much of a factor, but I think the other three, I think they could all beat each other. I think Morocco's probably my wild card because, like I said, it is a defensive tournament. And I think they are a really, really good tournament team. I think they've proven that they don't concede many goals at all. Now, I don't think they score in bunches either, but they're a really, really good defensive unit. I think they're super, super organised, but they're kind of my wild card. Climate won't play a factor.
Well, that kind of leads into my next question, because they're going to ask, who might be a dark horse that people might not be looking at that might come out and play really well here? And do you think any of the three hosts, we've talked about the U.S., but could Mexico or Canada make an impact in this tournament?
I think they probably just lack talent, to be honest with you. I don't think the Mexican group is as talented as it's been in the past in honestly decades. But I would probably have the US ahead of any of the other two hosts. I do think the Canadians are a little bit of a wild horse, like I said earlier, just because the way they play. It's not like I think they're overly talented, but I think they play in a way where it can really disrupt teams.
But soccer's come a long way in that country because they used to be a non-factor whatsoever, yeah, and now you have to take them seriously.
Yeah. I think I'm with Pat. Like I said, obviously a little bit of U.S. bias, but I'll take us kind of over the other two host countries. And then if you want a little wild card, I'll give you Ecuador. I think that they're very solid. Pat talked about the defensive nature of things. They're very solid at the back with the likes of William Pancho. Hincapié's back there. You got my guy Moy Caicedo's kind of sitting in front of that back line. So I think they're going to be one. And then, like I said, they're in a group with Germany, with Ivory Coast. That is going to kind of be tough as well. But I think they're one that can kind of make some noise in there and kind of find their way, kind of maybe get into a sneaky round of 16.
Who are a couple of players that might star in this World Cup?
I have my few. You're not looking for a wild card now, or you're looking for a star?
Both, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe one of each, two of each, maybe.
You're looking for a star. I think this year he's probably just gone to another level, is Olise of France. Mm. I think he's been unbelievable. Mm-hmm. But on top of that, to go with him and are on the same team is Cherki at Manchester City. I think he's incredible. So they'd be my two. And the funny thing is, I'm saying those two in that front four that also contains Ousmane Dembele and Kylian Mbappe.
Yeah, right.
So it's, yeah, and I'm picking the other two. But yeah, that'd probably be my one in terms of just being stars in the competition. I think it goes without saying Lamine Yamal. I mean, I think he's the best in the world, in my opinion. But depends. Yeah, depends if his fitness levels are in
question.
Where is he at
with that? No, I was right with you. I was going to say Olise as well. Obviously, I think he's been unbelievable this year for Bayern. You're going to go through it, obviously, hoping to see, like I said, the likes of Haaland as a goal scorer myself and a striker. I want to see kind of him come out here and shine and stand out on the big stage. And then, I mean, you're going to have players as well. I'll even go to Pat's side as a kind of predict the Brazilians. I'm not a big fan of, obviously, Manchester United, but I think Cunha could go out here, and I think he could have a big World Cup for them. If they're going to kind of get to where they want to get to, I think he's going to have to star and stand out. You obviously got the likes of Vinny Jr. on that team, but I think they're going to need that next piece, and I think he could be the one.
Let's bring it back home and check in on the Midwestern State men and Midwestern State women. We'll start with you, Lynn. I mean, I was just working on some biographies from last year. I don't think people realize how well you guys played last year. It was a fantastic season.
Yeah, like I said, I think you're at a place like Midwestern where soccer is kind of a big culture, obviously being part of the men's program and the men winning the national title. It shows kind of what this place brings. Obviously 11 wins, only 3 losses, and the 6 draws is kind of where we kind of take a bit of a, can we push forward from there? But no, obviously we lose 3 great players, or 4, excuse me. Ali Romano was included in that as well. We lose Nix, we lose Mabel, and we lose Lilia. Obviously 4 great players.
I was going to say, those are 4 big pieces.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Some players to kind of fill in. But I think we've done well. I think we've done well in recruiting. We've added some good pieces, some freshmen coming in, a couple top transfers we think will be there. And we're looking to push forward. I think, obviously, what the men have kind of set the standard for what we're wanting everybody to achieve, I think, at this university and to get ourselves to. And I think for us to take the next step is now getting over that 11 wins I think we've had the last 2 years and getting out of that first round, but now making a real push forward and kind of fighting for that real conference and going further in the national tournament. I think the win against Dallas Baptist last year was huge to show that the girls can go out here and they can compete with not only the best team in the conference, but one of the best teams in the nation. I think at the time they were number 1 in the nation, that scored 64 goals, gave up 3. So to go out there on their patch and beat them 2-0 showed what they can do. But you got to now go and continue to produce, and you got to go continue to do it again. And next year is always a new year. So
one thing you guys have certainly done is establish a home field advantage. I think it's been almost 2 years since you lost at home.
Yeah, I think it's 17, 18 games unbeaten.
Something
here.
Like that.
I do remember that loss. Once again, as we said, we beat DBU at theirs. That was the team that beat us here my very first year. So maintaining that is big. And I think where we want to get to is, if we're doing so well at home, how do we continue to make sure in the regular season we're maybe getting to host some of these games throughout the postseason? And that's going to be the big piece.
You mentioned it, but does the men's national championship fuel the women's program?
I think so, and I think that's the beauty of it. The girls are – I think the girls and the guys have a great relationship with one another. They're always out supporting us. We're always out supporting them. Obviously, good relationship between us coaches. Me and Pat are always together playing golf, hanging out, doing one another. So I think that is a big piece. And I think, like I said, I talked about it few years ago with a couple of the men's basketball players. Actually, I said success breeds success, excuse me. And I think the more you see that happening, the more you kind of want to push, you want to strive to it, and them kind of getting to see that and kind of be a witness to that is hopefully something they want to see themselves achieve as well.
So Pat, all you guys have to do is repeat as national champions. Yeah, the match that you did last year.
No pressure.
How does it change the program?
In terms of going forward, I don't really think anything changes from on our behalf, to be honest. It's a case of just reloading. I think we have a humble group. They don't really get too far ahead of themselves. I think we've probably brought in good characters just this spring alone, never mind the guys that are coming in this fall. So it's kind of like what you said about the World Cup. If it's not broke, don't fix it. So we kind of just reloaded in a way, and we almost like recruited to our niche and took in like for like, essentially, you know, whatever we felt worked last year, and we didn't graduate too many players. So I think 3 of the starting 11 graduated in terms of Liam, Derek, and Jaime. So obviously there are 3 areas of need, but I mean, I think we also have players here last year who are capable of filling that void. So I think it's just about basically maintaining, I don't want to say maintaining the national championship, but maintaining the standards we kind of set for ourselves and staying humble throughout, because at the end of the day, we did start our season 1-2-2. So
I mean, when you were down to Newman 3-0, I did not think you were a national championship team. Please forgive me.
I can forgive you, I suppose. I mean, I'm not going to lie either. I don't think anyone in their right mind would say we would, you know, but all we know is to put our head down and work hard. And to be fair, I think this is kind of it's a testament to the group that we have. And we have a really, really strong core. They've kind of been with us even as like freshmen and stuff all the way through. I think I made a comment to our group going into the Stanislaus game in the Sweet 16, I believe. And I actually addressed each individual and I told them we had 10 players in our starting 11 who all redshirted. So at one point or another, they're all told no and they're not good enough, you know. So we've kind of taken that with us and we play with a little bit of a chip on our shoulder. And are always out to prove something, you know. So I think that's kind of our culture at the moment, kind of what we stick with. But yeah, that's it. No pressure.
Guys, I really appreciate you doing this. This is something we're doing kind of different this summer. And you guys help us break in our new podcast room here. I think it went off without a hitch. We'll find out soon enough. But no, I really appreciate you guys doing this. Enjoy your summer. And I can't wait until the fall gets here to watch both of your teams.
Appreciate it greatly, Pete. Looking forward to seeing you on the tennis court.
Thanks for listening to the Stain Gang Podcast. You don't want to see me on the tennis court. We want you to tell your friends about the Stain Gang Podcast and enjoy the World Cup. I'm Pete Stein. So long.